There is a place where Europe ends. It's called Cabo de São Vicente, and it's the westernmost point of the European peninsula, a cliff jutting into the Atlantic Ocean. The Greeks, according to Herodotus, called the waters beyond Gibraltar Atlantic after the god Atlas. This was his realm, vast, powerful, and profoundly mysterious. When you stand at Cabo de São Vicente, you understand why this seems like a good name. There is a presence there that hints at a world both monstrous and enchanted. The Romans called it the Promontorium Sacrum, or Sacred Promontory, and they prohibited people from being there at night. They thought that this was the end of the world, and that demons from the Atlantic came ashore at night to seize people's souls. It is not difficult in the darkness to imagine demons from the nothingness of the Atlantic seizing you. During the day, it is still a desolate place, with a Portuguese naval communication center and some stalls selling nothing much to the handful of tourists who still visit the end of the world. This banality belies the importance of the place. There is a second cape less than a mile to the east, just south of a small town called Sagres. A man known to history as Henry the Navigator built a palace there in the 15th century. Only a chapel, likely built later, and a large circle on the ground survive. The purpose of the circle is unknown, but it makes clear that there was once something important here. This was the point from which Henry oversaw the beginning of Europe's great adventure, the exploration and domination of the world. Cabo de São Vicente was the end of the old world. Sagres was the beginning of the new one. Sagres was the place where the Europeans finally banished the old demons of Rome and where Europe's new demons would first emerge, demons that haunt Europe to this day. Empires always spawn demons, and this was the beginning of the magnificent and terrifying European empire. It rose to unthinkable heights and committed unquestionable crimes. We are still living in the shadow of Europe's rise and fall, and it all began at Sagres and the Atlantic. Prince Henry of Portugal, better known as Henry the Navigator, the son of King John I of Portugal, built a school for the navigators who probed the Atlantic for decades. It is said by some that among his students were men such as Vasco da Gama, who found the path to India, Ferdinand Magellan, who sailed around the world, and even Christopher Columbus, who was once shipwrecked and rescued and spent some time at Henry's school. It is difficult to tell what sort of school this was, who actually attended, and what was myth, what attendance meant, and how much time Henry himself spent there. Very little survives, but a certain hard collective memory, that at this place the conquest of the world by Europe began, as Portugal spent its national treasure probing the Atlantic, searching for wealth in the unknown. Portuguese exploration was a vast national enterprise. A great deal of money was staked on an unknown prize. The Portuguese were motivated by internal politics, international rivalry, religion, ideology, and the sheer glory of it. Whatever else Henry attempted, he kept meticulous records of every failed and successful voyage. Each ship went a little farther, was built a little better. There was no great leap, but decades of increasing knowledge. It was an exercise in engineering, seamanship, finance, and bureaucracy. It was also an exercise in glory. Thinking of Sagres reminds me of NASA in its heroic days. NASA, too, was stunningly expensive, motivated by politics, geopolitics, and ideology. And like Sagres, there was the sheer majesty of it. Mercury, Gemini, and Apollo, space programs named after Greek gods, were run by men who hid the romance beneath the prosaic fabric of engineering, piloting, and bureaucracy. the romance of choosing to battle demons in an unknown realm with skill and grace. Survival demanded that they discipline themselves to move carefully, each step a little farther, each ship a little better. Sagrish and Nasa were made up of men who lived poetically rather than men who wrote poems. The Europeans began not with myths, but with the will to shatter them. This was the beginning of empire. The resurrection of myth in the 20th century was the end of empire.